Today's daf is Masechet Zvachim, daf Nun Tet, and we are holding in the middle of the sugya, analyzing first Rabbi Yochanan's statement that Alibad Rabbi Yossi, any shchita al Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach is kosher, and Rabbi Yochanan made a statement that according to Rabbi Yossi, Kulim Mizbeach B'tzaf Ein Kohen, which we thought was a description of the din of the Mishnah. Turns out it was unrelated to the din of the Mishnah, because otherwise Rabbi Yosef Rabbi's opinion wouldn't have followed at all. Actually, it was all a question of how to understand the posik of the Zavachta Alav et Olotecha v'tshlamecha that appears by Mizbeach Adama. And meanwhile, we started to look around, because Rabbi Zera was interested in finding a makor to the words of Rabbi Yochanan that would be in a Mishnah somewhere, and he thought he had identified that makor in the Mishnah that describes clearly, or at least he thought it describes clearly, that the only possible way in which we could explain that you were four amot from the corner of Ma'aravid Dromit on the Mizbeach in order to put the Ma'aroch HaShniyah Shel Ktoret, and on Shabbos not only for Ktoret, but for the Mizbeach Elaveina, that four amot away from the corner was Keneged HaPetach of the Heichal, that only made sense according to this shita, and it was Rabbi Yosef given a simon, because that's got to be Kulam Mizbeach B'Tzaf Ein Kohen, and therefore everything worked out fine. It showed that Rabbi Yosef ought Kulam Mizbeach B'Tzaf Ein Kohen. The Gemara was deicha that because Rabbi Adar Bar Ava said it could even work out if the Mizbeach is Mimutza, but we'd have to make some adjustments. Remember that if the Mizbeach is Mimutza, then the middle 10 amot of the Mizbeach are connected to Petah. However, if you hold the Kedusha Techal of the Ulam is Chodahu, then the middle 20 Amot in the Mizbeach are connected to Petach. Because of Petach, Kedusha Ulam, Techal, Chodahu. So then that would mean that the middle 20 Amot of the Mizbeach would be also connected to the Petach, because the Petach Ulam helps, which only leaves you another 12 to get to the 32. And that 12 would be 6 on one side, 6 on the other side. So that means that in order to get up to the Petach, you would have to move up 6 amot from the edge of the Mizbeach on the southern side to move up to the north. But if you realize that what we're counting from is the top of the Mizbeach as opposed to the bottom, take off the Yama Yesod, take off the Yama Sovev, and you come up with exactly 4, and therefore it's very easy to explain the Mishnah, not Aliba the Rabbi Yossi, at least the way Rabbi Yochanan saw Rabbi Yossi, but Aliba Rabbi Yehuda, who we know actually holds that the Mizbeach is Mimutza. Today we find that Rav Sharvia makes another suggestion. Rav Sharvia, on my one line up from the bottom of Nun Chet Amud Beit, Rav Sharvia says, look, I happen to agree with the initial explanation. In other words, when it says Arba Amot, it doesn't mean Arba plus 2. That is to say, Arba plus the Yesod plus the Sof, which makes it 6, which allows us to say that it's talking about the Mizbeach Mimutza. And if we also hold that the Petach Ulam counts as the Petach, then it works out. That part I don't agree. However, what I disagree with is that there's absolutely no raya over here that Rabbi Yossi is the one who has holds the Shita. I can identify precisely the Mandi Amar who holds the Shita, and that is Rabbi Yossi Aglili, as opposed to Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, which is the Mandi Amar Nar Mishnah, Stam Rabbi Yossi. And the idea over here is that it works out well. I'll prove it to you. At the time, Rabbi Yossi Aglili owned it. How can I prove to you that Rabbi Yossi Aglili clearly holds Kulam Mizbeach B'Tzaf Ein? Very simply. One pasuk says, and it seems to be a contradiction, it says, V'natata takior bein ohel mo'ed u'bein ha'mizbeach v'natata shamamai. Shammai. So you're supposed to put the kior in the area between the ohel mo'ed and the petach, and rather the mizbeach, and then you put the water in. Yet on the other hand, the pasuk says that mizbeach ola sam petach mishkan ohel mo'ed. The mizbeach was keneged the petach. So this doesn't represent much of a problem, because what we could do is put the kior between the ohel mo'ed and the mizbeach, but not connected to Petah. So in other words, remember the Petah was only 10 or maximum 20. So fine, if you believe that the Mizbeach, and only the Mizbeach, has to be connected to Petah, and not the Kior. And nonetheless, the Kior has to be between the Mizbeach and the actual Ulam, or the Heichal. So what's the problem? Just move it away from the Petah, but it'll still be between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, right?
It can be.
Doesn't have to be in front of the petach. It can be between without being in front of the door. Okay. Now, one additional piece of information is, as we're going to see later on, in order to understand, you need to know this now, we're going to see later on that it is not an option to move the kiyar to the northern side. It can only be on the southern side. Now, because of that, says Rabbi Yosef Halevi, there's only one solution to our problem. And that is, it has to be in the area that would be parallel to Bein Olam V'Olam Mizbeach, but it isn't really between the Olam and the Mizbeach. So what you'll have to do is move it away a little bit from the end of the Mizbeach so that it won't be between the Petach and the Mizbeach. And there's only one possible explanation for that. It's got to be that there is no Mizbeach in the south. Therefore, there's nowhere to put it, Bein Olam V'Olam Mizbeach, without putting it in the five Amot, which would be connected to Petach. Because if you start at the midpoint, the Olam Mizbeach goes north, then the only part of the Mizbeach that you'd be able to put it in would be up against the part that was connected to Petach. Mamela, I have no choice but to move it downwards away from the Mizbeach. Right? Okay, so let's see how he says that. So what do we do? On the other hand, it says, Mizbeach Ola, Mizbeach, Petach O Moed, that only the Mizbeach belongs there. And not the Kiyar in front of the Petach. Keep that Kiyar out of the Petach. Volo Kiyar Petach O Moed. So what did you do? Well, what you did was, you put it Bein Olam V'Olam Mizbeach, but a little bit away from the edge of the Mizbeach, to the south, Moshuch Kim'ah Klapei HaBaron. Now, I challenge you to explain to me how this could possibly make sense unless he holds Kula Mizbeach B'Tzofen Koi, obviously. It doesn't take much explanation to see that, but let's read it inside. Microsoft. I mean, so tell me what you think Rabbi Yosef Halevi holds. If he holds the Mizbeach is in the south, we don't have any problem, right? Because you could just put it anywhere. From the edge of the Kotel Hecha of the Ledoron, you could put it Mina Kotel of the Hecha. I mean, you don't even have to worry about the Petach Ulam. I mean, well, you want to worry about that, you can worry about that too. But you could certainly put it, and it'll still be Bein Olam L'Mizbeach. As a matter of fact, if you would hold it, Kedushat Hecha V'Ulam is one thing, you could still put it for the Kotel Ulam, the Ledoron. So if you're not worried about the Ulam, just put it to the part of the Mizbeach that's not at the door. You're worried about the doorway to the Ulam. Fine. Move it another five Amot. I mean, you got so much ways to move it. You got 32 Amot to move it, for God's sake, if it's Kula Bedorah. So what's the problem? Take off even 20. If you want to include, I don't care what you take off. You've still got plenty of room. So that's not a problem. All right. So if he holds, you'll say, okay, so but maybe what he holds is that chetzio bitzafon and chetzio bedarom, huh? Okay, let's try that one. Inana kazav chetzio bitzafon and chetzio bedarom. Is there a problem? Nuk me mikotol hechvul darom, and that would be bein olam v'lemizbeach, not by the petach. And you know what? Even if he holds kedushat olam hechachodei, now, I've only got six amot. Six amot. That's a problem. Put the kiyor in the six amot. From the edge of the door of the Ulam. You still have six Amot to the edge of the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach is 32 Amot. So then there's only one choice. And therefore, what are we supposed to do? Let's assume that we would now try to put it to the north of the Petach Haichal. So it'll be along the wall of the Hekel to the north. It's still going to interrupt between the Ulam and Mizbeach. So have they been Petach Ulam and Mizbeach? That's what it means over here. It's quite confusing, the language, because there's obviously words missing. It's all the way through when we said Inami Kasavar, and let's say we said Nukmi Mikotel Hekel Adoram, Bein Ulam and Mizbeach, which would, there it would have meant Dahainu. It would still be Yoitz Bein Ulam and Mizbeach, and or Inami Kasavar Kedushin Salam Hekachoduhu, Mikotel Ulam Adoram, would be Dahainu, Bein Olam al-Mizbeach, you would be Yotze. Over here it means it would be Mafsid, Bein Olam al-Mizbeach. So therefore we can't put it there either. Ask the Gemara, so put it from the edge of the Ulam, and there's north. You've got plenty of room. So Nukma Mikotel Ulam al-Tzafon. And that way it will be indeed Yotze, Bein Olam al-Mizbeach, without coming between the Petach Olam al-Mizbeach. And that way everything works out perfectly. The Mizbeach, and only the Mizbeach, is Petach, and the Giyor is completely Bein the Mizbeach and the Yechal, in the sense of the cursor of the Ulam.
What you do, all you did is move the problem out of the south into the north. So you have the same question, same potential of placement in the north as you did in the south. So I don't understand what's the issue of you. Oh, no, that's a different issue. You see, that, Omar Krah, Tzafona. Why does the Torah say Tzafona? You know what Daroma means in the song in Israel? Daroma? Hey, Daroma. It means that's where to go. Go west, young man. Tzafona means, Tzafona is meant to be pure Tzafona, meaning leave that place clean. To the north, It's all north. That means she hates a fon ponui mi kelim. No kelim in the north. Therefore, the Torah could not have meant to put the kiyor in the north. We could only put the kiyor in the south. But if we could only put the kiyor in the south, where could we possibly put it that it would still be Beinu Olam v'al Mizbeach if the entire Mizbeach is B'tzafon? Therefore, draw a line, an imaginary line, from the end of the Mizbeach, and it means Beinu Olam v'al Mizbeach, not literally, but between the place where the Mizbeach is and the Olam. What else are you supposed to say?
Between the Olam and the Kevesh.
Yeah, but Kevesh, but that doesn't count. That's not Mizbeach. Kevesh is not Mizbeach. But that's true, it will be. Beinu Olam v'al Kevesh, 100% right. Now, who is the Man Yomer who argues on Rabbi Yossi Haglili and says that the Mizbeach is definitely not in the least bit in the Tzafon? It's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and it actually is based on the same pasuk, Ei Tzafona, Detanya. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Tzafona doesn't mean she ate Tzafon ponui mikelim, it means she had Tzafon ponui miklum. Mafilu mena Mizbeach, nothing can be in the Tzafon. Even the Mizbeach cannot be in the Tzafon. Tosus points out, I mean, was that supposed to mean a lot of things in the Tzafon? I mean, there were the Nanasim, the Nanasot, I mean, all the things that you'd use for Shchita, which we're going to get to in the Mesechet Midot. So why are you saying it was Tzafon? It was Ponui, Miklum. Says Tosus, because if we take for granted that the meaning of keeping Tzafon Ponui is because of our old problem, not having enough room to Tzafon for Shchita, since it's the only area that you're allowed to do Shchita of Kachi Kachi. So therefore, Ponui Miklum, we take for granted, means keep it open for Shchita. But all of those things, the Nanasim and so on, are all used for Shchita. That, of course, is okay. Fine. So therefore, we now have our Shitot, either Mizbeach is Kula B'Tzafon, which Kalibet Rabbi Yochanan is true of Rabbi Yossi, we know it's true of Rabbi Yossi Haglili, or the Mizbeach is Mimutza, as we saw in Rabbi Yehuda, or the Mizbeach is Kula B'Dorom, as we just saw according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, continues the Gemara, the sugya of the Mizbeach, because of the fact that, remarkably, this is built on the same drasha that started the whole parak, which is Mizbeach Adamantah, Tassav, Mizavachta Alav, et Olotecha v'Shlamecha. So one explanation was Avakta Alav et Olotecha v'Shlamecha is that you're able to use the Mizbeach as a Makom Shchita, which of course is the topic of our Mishnah, Kodesh Kodesh Shachta Rosh Hashem Mizbeach. However, there is a secondary meaning to that pasuk, as we'll see in a moment. Omar Rav, Mizbeach Shenivgam, if there was a slight, this is, remember, we learned before, even the Shtat Korbo Tzipor, even a slight scratch, which would catch your nail, is like a shchita knife, that you run across the Mizbeach, kolar kachim shenishk tusham tzulim. Anything that had been shechted at the point that you discovered that the Mizbeach is nifgam are all possible. Except, darn it, said Rav, I knew there was a pasuk about this, and I can't remember what it is. But I remember that's the bit. Mikra yabi adena v'shachachnu, we forgot the pasuk. Now, when Rav Kahana, Kisalik Rav Kahana went up there to Yisrael, see, he was ashkechel Rav Shimon bar Rebbe. He found Rav Shimon bar Rebbe, who was saying over, in the name of Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi, Ninai in the Mizbeach shenivgan. Shikolakotashim shenishchetu sham pesulim shenema vezavakta alav et olotecha vetshamecha. The same pasuk that began our discussion in the parak. And he asks, now surely the Torah cannot be giving us a mitzvah that only on the mizbeach you can shech. I mean, even if you want to say, it's Tosfos points out, you want to say, it's telling you it's kosher to shech. But you certainly can't say that it's being miyached, the mokai, to be bedavka over there, that it's a mitzvah to shech on the mizbeach. Where's there a mitzvah to shech? There's being matir to shech on the mizbeach. Ela must be saying, alav kishu shalem, as described in the halacha. That is to say, it is alav. It's all there. V'lo kishu chaser, not when it's missing in any way, such as here, where it's got a scratch. So Rav Kahana says, wow, that's the pasuk. Dishtamet le'el Rav, that's exactly the pasuk of Rav for God. And that was the makor of Mizbeach Shenivgam. Now, what is the halacha here? That all of the kadoshim that were there become pasul. What is that based on? That is based on the halacha that we've had many times before, called dichui. Once something was unable to be used for the purpose that it was about to be used for, when you correct the situation that prevents the misuse, it's no longer usable. Once it was nitche, it's been thrown out, rejected. When something is rejected, the rejection itself apostles. Note that he says, Kol HaKotchim Shenishchatu Sham. Why does it say Shenishchatu? What's wrong? Just for Kotchim that were there. And they became Nifsal because the Mizbeach wasn't usable, and therefore you wouldn't have been able to bring them on Mizbeach. Because that involves a different issue. Normally, Dichui means that something was Nir'eh V'nitche. It was usable, about to be used, and then just as it was about to be used, becomes Nifsal. But if something was never about to be used, so that the Mizbeach is Nifsal for the past year, and I say, okay, I want this to be a Nailah whenever they get the Mizbeach fixed, that wouldn't be called Dichui, because it was never ready to be used. We're just waiting. So it's not that I rejected it, it just didn't come to the point where it was usable. That's called the question of Dichui Meikara. It's initially not usable. But, I mean, in a sense, nothing is initially usable. A korban has to be 7 days old before you can bring it. So you're not going to call it Dichui. So we'll see that, indeed, Mechusar Zman issues are different when it comes to Dichui. Some learn that that's true of all Dichui. If it was never going to be used, how do you call it rejected? It just, its time hasn't come, so to speak. So over here, the Mizbeach was never available, so we're waiting for the Mizbeach. Is there something somewhat inappropriate to wait? There's certainly something inappropriate in which something was about to be, oh, sorry, too bad. So if it's too bad already, that leaves a bad impression, so to speak. That's Dichui. Dichui Mikor, not everybody holds. Now, taking that into consideration, along with one additional point, and that is whether Dichui is able to be stated of livestock. Because the nature of living things is that they're always in a state of development. They're moving. They're dynamic. Life is dynamic. And we have, in many hold, that we have no indication that something that is alive is ever nifsal because it's not usable now. So use it some other point. I mean, you know, life is like that. So basically, if it was alive, it wouldn't be nifsal. So therefore, what he says is, there's two issues over here. So what he says is it had to be nishchat already. If it was nishchat already, then it's not life. Then it would be nitche. But if you just had kachim that were there and were going to be shechted, and then the mizbeach became nifsal, that involves a different issue. Do live things become nitche? So we have three issues over here. The overall issue of dichui, the question of is dichui mikara called dichui, and the question of does dichui affect living beings? So keeping that in mind, we can now move on. And we say kishur shalem. Fine. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, however, said, why did Rabbi talk about kol hakadashim shenishchatu sham? It's not true shenishchatu sham. It would be even echad zeh ve'echad zeh. It was whether they were nishchatu, or whether nishchatu, even after it was fixed, it would be nitche. Because when they brought it, even though it was alive, and then the mizbeach became nifsal, and then they fixed the mizbeach, and now they want to shecht it, that's also called dichui. But my plea, very simple. This, the original sheet, the Rav Savak, Balei Chaim, Einan Nidachim. He holds Balei Chaim and not Nidachim. And therefore, the only thing that can be mentioned, as Rav says, Mizbeach Shenivgam Kol HaKotchim Shenishchatu Sham Psulim. Because if they hadn't been Nishchat, they would be livestock, and livestock isn't Nitche. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds Balei Chaim are Nidachim, and therefore, he said, why mention only Nishchatu? Anything is Nitche. Meitche. We ask from the following brayta, which says, Kol HaKadashim Shayu Ad Shelo Nivneh HaMizbeach. So any kachim that were there before the Mizbeach was completed, which sounds like we're talking about the rebuilding of Mizbeach at the time of the Biat Ezra, and then the Mizbeach was Nivneh, they're all possible. Whoa, Nivneh. So then that means that they were Dechuyin Meikara. I mean, you're talking about here 70 years without a Mizbeach. Somebody was all excited about the coming building of the Mizbeach, and the week before he had his karbanas brought, waiting for the Mizbeach, and here it says they're all pasul, because they were nitche at the time that you brought them, because there was no Mizbeach yet. Now that's dichui meikara. Says the Gemara, nivneh, then that's dichui meikara ninu. And as Tosfos points out, this particular type of dichui, nobody would have held. But certainly it's a big question of dichui meikar or not. I mean, you're ready to say that the Braita is willing to put its halakha down on dichui meikar? Sorry, change that. Not nivneh. Achlo neheras hamizbeach. Anything that had been there as a carbon before the mizbeach was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, when the Mizbeach is rebuilt, cannot be used. Aren't they a little bit too old to be, I mean, they're a 70-year-old animal? Ha'iskilo, what do you mean? Forget about Bichoy. You're not allowed to use an old animal. Now, it's very interesting, as Tosis points out, we have animals who are a lot older than that that were brought as korbanot. Because the korbanot, the animals that were brought by the Nisim to carry the Mishkan, lived until Shlomo finished the Migdash. And he brought them as korbanot as part of the, you know, of the Migdash.
Hmm. The oxen?
Okay. Yeah, that was about 500 years. They were a little older than the 70 years. It says that guy was a special din, if only for that moment. All right, but certainly normally, I mean, if a guy is bringing a carbon, trying to bring a carbon that's 70 years old, we're not going to accept it from him. Okay, sorry, let's change this whole thing. We got about Neras, Niv, and that whole thing. Nothing to do with that. It's Nivgam again. We're back with Nivgam. So if we had any kachim that were brought before the Mizbeach got this cut in it, this pegima in it, and then the Mizbeach was Nivgam, so then it's possible. And you said only if it was shechted. I can't believe it. You're asking me from a brayta that you have fixed already two times, changing the language, and you're bothered by this. Okay, how about if I change the language too? Okay, I'm going to change the language. Lo tirutzei kametaratzta. Didn't you change a lot of things here? So I'm going to change mine. Ema shenishchatu, not shahoyu sham, shenishchatu sham. What do you think about that? I don't understand though, says the Gemara Bichlal. What exactly is the problem? So let's say that you're telling me the Mizbeach is ruined. You know what? Take the Mizbeach away. No. So you're telling me I can't actually bring a carbon where the Mizbeach is? Why not? The Amar of Gidel Amarav, the Mizbeach, here we're referring to the Mizbeach HaZahav. Mizbeach Shene'ekar, Maktirin Ktoret B'Mekomo. You're able to bring the Ktoret on the place where the Mizbeach was inside of the Hecha. So if that's the case, I mean, I would assume that's true about the Mizbeach HaChitza. Can do that also. So what's the problem? Before we were talking about whether you could be sheichet things in that place, but bring them up, haktora, why would it be aser? So here too, says Gemara, that's true. But as Rava points out with Rabbi Yehuda remembers the Mandyamar who holds that the entire floor of the Azara is kosher for haktora. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda holds, again, if you recall, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, that they stopped up the outlet so that the dam would all be gathered on the floor, we had this before, that you would take a cup and you'd put it on the Mizbeach. Why do you need to put it on the Mizbeach if the whole Azara is the Mizbeach? Therefore, says Rava, Rabbi Yehuda's Meida, it's not a Mizbeach for dam. Dam has to do with this whole business of Yisrael Mizbeach and so forth. It's all Mizbeach oriented. But the burning can be on the place where the Mizbeach is. So therefore, there would be over here the same problem. If, now, the kachim were nishkatu, you wouldn't, maybe even if you'd be able to be makdir them, but you would not be able to be zarek to dam. What is this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, which gives us a good excuse to go off on a beautiful tangent about the size of the Mizbeach and all kinds of interesting things? Because now we've talked about the placement of the Mizbeach. And we talked about the Braita and the Mishnah about the size of the Mizbeach. But let us get to the Korot, actually. So where does Rabbi Yehuda's sheet come from? That the floor itself was Kaddish. The Tanya. It says in the Pasuk in Melachim, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash, completed it, and then made this massive 7 days, seven plus another 7 days of Sukkot ceremony. So it says, "Bayom ahu kidash HaMelech et toch hachatzer asher lifnei Beit Hashem." The Melech was mekadesh the actual chatzer, which sounds like the floor, the actual chatzer. Ki asar sham et ha'olav et ha'mincha et chavei ha'shlamim, because he had to bring all of these korbanos he brought there. Ki mizbach hanechoshet asher lifnei Hashem, that old, ye old mizbach nechoshet from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, katon miachilat olav et hamincha et chavei ha'shlamim, that's too small to be able to be used for the massive number of korbanot that Shlomo was building. Bring it. Therefore, he had no choice but to use the floor. Now, there's a little bit of a problem here, and that is, they weren't using the Mizbeach that Moshe had made. Shlomo had already replaced the Mizbeach that Moshe made with the new Mizbeach, which was made out of Avanim, as it describes over there. So what is this talking about, the Mizbeach that Moshe made? How does this work? So these are the problems we have to deal with. So comes along now Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, look, you know what? This means exactly what it says. Dvarim kichtavam, Rabbi Yehuda. It means that he was Bekadesh, the actual Tocha Chatzer. Omar le Rabbi Yossi, what are you talking about? Why would it mean that? Let's try to figure out whether there would be a problem, actually, if it's being too small that you're claiming, okay? Halok kfar ne'emar, elef olot yaleh Shlomo al hamizbeach ahu. Now, it says that Shlomo used to bring 1,000 korbanot a day, 1,000 olot, on that mizbeach. Okay, so if that's the case, let's try to figure out if that mizbeach could hold 1,000, how many animals could be brought on the mizbeach that Shlomo built? Forget about the floor. On the new mizbeach that was made of avanim. V'ilu b'beit olamim hu omer. Let's see how many korbanos Shlomo was bringing during those days where you're claiming no way that it could possibly have fit on top of the mizbeach. There it says.
One at a time?
One at a time, of course not. I can bring one at a time. There's not enough minutes in a day to bring one at a time. Okay, well, over the course of the day. This is what we brought in a day. So, Vayizbach Shlomo et Zevach HaShlamim, there it talks about Bokar, Esrim Eshnayim Elef, 22,000 cows, and Son Me'av Esrim Elef, 120,000 sheep.
Is there all those?
Yeah. Now, this is a lot more. This part of the Chinuch. That's a lot more than 1,000. Would it have fit? Oh, let's make an analysis. We'll see if it would have fit. So now we're going to have to fit 140,000 or so carbonos. Can we fit 140,000 carbonos on the mizbeach? Absolutely, without any problem. Because look, kishata magia lecheshbon olot, when you do a prorating of the number of olot that can be brought per square inch of the mizbeach, works out perfectly. If you look at the minyan amot, all right, 9 inches, amot. Actually, you have more space on the mizbeach of Shlomo than was necessary. And therefore, there's no reason to explain the posik as you are explaining it. Because if you take a look at the mizbeach of Moshe, the mizbeach of Moshe was 5 by 5. That's what's given as the measurements in the Torah. 5 by 5, where you got to take off the makom akronot, one on each side. And then you need room for the tozis, for the kohanim, another amma on either side. Take off 4 amot on all sides, you're left with 1 square amma. That gives you 1,000 olot per amma. But when you come to the mizbeach that Shlomo made, after taking off the yesod, and the sovev, and the kronot, and the makom hiluch kohanim, on either side you are still left with 20 square amot, which is, with 20 amot square, which is 400 square amot. That gives you 400,000 olot.
The 1,000 was brought in the Mishkan?
Was brought on that old Mizbeach in the old days, back in Nov and Givon. Actually, Tosis asked, who's to say that it was on that Mizbeach? Why say it was on that Mizbeach? Maybe it was on the Mizbeach that they built at Nov and Givon. How do you know it was on that Mizbeach? So he says, because it says, Beferish Divrei HaYomim, and the Gemara is a big semech on this, that you understand that it says, Al Mizbeach HaNechosh Shasa B'Tzalah. So we know that. That's a gift. Okay. So if that's the case, it means that the new Mizbeach was capable of 400,000 a day. And
of course, there's a serious problem with this entire analysis, and that is, you'll notice that the Lashon of the Pasuk is Vayizbach Shlomo et Zevach HaShlamim. The number of all these karbanot are not olot at all. They're shlamim. Why is that a problem? For a very simple reason. That the shlamim didn't have any basar that was going to be burnt, and therefore to prorate the area that was necessary to burn an entire animal, and to pretend that it's exactly the same as the area that would be required to burn just a few emurim of the carbon shlamim, whose basar was all eaten, doesn't make any sense at all. And this is a very serious problem that's explored by various mefarshim, including the Radak, who writes that even though we're talking about the shlamim over here, there were plenty of olot that were being brought, and between the total of olot, benachot, chal shlamim, there was not room on Mizbach HaNechoshet. But of course, that's all very nice. That'll be the pshat. It does not make sense. Aliba this Gemara. Because in this sugya, we're making a direct, prorated comparison of exactly how much we can do per square amma on the Mizbeach. And the approach of some of the achronim is based on the Gemara Menachot that insists that v'hiktiro hakohen hamizbeach means that you cannot mix one carbon with another. In which case, you could have to assign surface area on the mizbeach for each carbon. The surface area that would be assigned would be similar, because then you'd just be piling up more basar on the same area. Not a very persuasive answer. There are other approaches, but in any event, let's at least acknowledge that we got a problem.
Okay, so in any event, therefore, I say The issue was not that there was any problem at all about the Mizbeach being too small. It wasn't too small. It's just that all that happened over here is that they wanted to say, it had nothing to do with size. The word small here is used as a euphemism. Because it's not nice to say about a Mizbeach that they rejected the Mizbeach, they passed the Mizbeach, and built another Mizbeach. Later on it will say, what do you mean by it doesn't say Mizbeach, it says Chatzer, we'll ask that. And therefore, what it is a euphemism. Like, when somebody is rotten on the job, you know, then what do you say? You say, he's too small for the job. Okay, whatever. So we say, Ploni Nanas. We call him a dwarf. I mean, what are we going to say about him? You know, you don't want to talk about the exact problem. So it's Ploni Nanasu. Upasula Avodas, what he really means. Same thing over here. What he really means when it says Katan is speaking nicely about the Mizbeach. But if nothing was wrong with the Mizbeach that we needed the Chatzer, please. You know, that's a very good point. I mean, how come Rabbi Yehuda doesn't see that if you prorate the original Mizbeach with the new Mizbeach, that you get easily what Shlomo? Shlomo was small potatoes. We can get up to 400,000. And so, says the Gemara, you know what this is based on? It's based on the values that you put into the various parameters over here. You're making an assumption that the Mizbeach of Moshe was one, and the relationship is one to 400. However, Rabbi Yehuda Lishitato disagrees with that. He holds that when the Torah was giving the dimensions of the Mizbeach of Moshe, it was giving only one quarter of the dimensions. And actually, Mizbeach Shasa Moshe Gadolanya, Tanya, Chamesh Amot Orech, V'Chamesh Amot Rochav. Now, in the Pasuk in Shmot, when it talks about building the Mizbeach, it says, take a Mizbeach, Atzei Shitim, 5 by 5. Says Rabbi Yossi, it says 5 by 5. Last I heard, 5 by 5 means 5 by 5. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're missing the point. What it says over there is that you shall make it 5 by 5, ravua, yamizbeach, square.
Oh.
Now, that word square appears also in the story of Yechezkel that is describing the Mizbeach of the Binyan to come, or even as they used it for the Binyan of the Beit HaMikdash HaSheni. So it says Rovua over there too. We talked about the Ariel. The Ariel is the size of Mizbeach. So over there it says Ha'Ariel Shtem Esrei Ama was Orech, B'Shtem Esrei Rochav, Rovua El Arba'at Reva'av. It specifies that this was times 4. So if you cut the Mizbeach up into quadrants, each quadrant was 12 by 12. Therefore, by Moshe Rabbeinu, it means exactly the same thing. Each quadrant was 5 by 5. That's what it means. Now you're telling me, and how do you know it means that? And that's the Kol Ruach, I say. And the idea over here is, over there, Malala Meyam Tse'ita Yamodeh, you measured from the middle, 12 in all directions. Afkan Meyam Tse'ita Yamodeh, you measured 5 in all directions. How do you know there? Because it says Ariel Shtemisrei Ama, and it's Lachol Ruach. Maybe it's only Shtemisrei or Shtemisrei. No, it says El Arba Ad Riva Av on all 4 quadrants. Melamed Shemi Emza Hu Modeit, and you now need to measure it from the middle. If you measure it from the middle, then that means it was really 10 by 10. If it was 10 by 10, even if we slice off, Richie dear. We're slicing off the chronote, because we can't burn on the chronote area. No. That's 2 on either side. Slicing off the toesies of the Kohanim. No, the place for the toesies of the Kohanim. Takes off another 2. Leaves us 4. Ah, you'll say, what happened to the Yesod and Sovev? There was no Yesod and Sovev on the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. There was a mark of the Reshet, as we saw earlier, which took the place of the Sovev. But the measurements of the Mizbeach were the measurements of the top of the Mizbeach for all intents and purposes. Now, that leaves us 6 by 6. 6 by 6 is 36 in terms of square. That means 36 square amot are sufficient to bring 1,000 olot, not 1 square amot. Now, the relationship of 36 to 400 is about 11. So then that means you can bring 11,000, a little bit more than 11,000 olot. That doesn't give Shlomo his necessary 140-some thousand. What's a poor man going to do who's got to bring his few karbanot? He's got to be Mekadosh the Chatzer, says Rabbi Yehuda, because the Mizbeach was too small. That's the meaning of it. So therefore, I say it means exactly what it says. It means he was Mekadesh the floor of the Chutz. And what does Rabbi Yossi do about that, about the fact that it says Ravua? Doesn't it make sense that it's a Gzeirah Shavah? Does he ignore the Gzeirah Shavah? Oh, I don't ignore the Gzeirah Shavah at all, says Rabbi Yossi. But I learn the Gzeirah Shavah as a reference to the Mizbach HaKtoret. By the Mizbach HaKtoret, it also says Ravua. And over there, what do we learn? Obviously, we can't learn out that it was only one by one if it says it's five by five. Therefore, we learn it out for the height. It does the same thing about the height of the Mizbeach that is binding. I can play with the height, as I'll show you. And I say the point over here is this. It says, the Yasita Ta Mizbeach is Shalosh Chamesh Amot. Orech Chamesh Amot. Rochab. And over there it says, Ravua. And adds, Shalosh Amot Kamato. Okay, so that means that we have now, Mala Halan. The Gova is Pishnaim Ka'orko. It actually, which is Amarko, Amarokbo, Amataim is the Mizbach Aktore. So it's Amataim Komato, 2 to 1. So if here it's 2 to 1, that gives us now 10. So why then does the Torah say 3 if it's really 10? Ah, that's simple. We know the answer to that. We've already dealt with that issue. How do you build a Mizbeach? Ama Yesod. 5 Amot up to the top of the Sovev. That's 6. The actual body of the Mizbeach was how big? 3. Then the Kronot. 6, 3, 1, 10. So when I'm talking about the actual top of the Mizbeach, it's 3. And therefore, what it was referring to here is exactly the same thing it refers to the Beit HaMikdash. It says 3. That means from the Resha. That is from the Sovev. The Mizbeach HaNechoshet. But the full height of the Mizbeach was 10, including the Kronot, the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. And that's how do I know that? From the Mizbeach HaKtoret. Mizbeach HaKtoret was Amarachbo, but Amatayim Komato, double the height than the width. Here too, it's double the height than the width. So if it was 5 by 5, it's got to be 10 high. Okay? That's a whole different deal. Afkan Bishlaim Korko.
Omarle reviewed this. Review this at him, look. I mean, take a look at the pasuk. Halukvar ne'emar v'tachatzer mea ama v'kuma chamesh amot. Now, it says when it comes to the chatzer on Mishkan, the kalei chatzer, we're 5 amot high, so that you have this long chatzer and this low 5 amot high fence, so to speak, which is supposed to cover it up. Now, according to the way you're understanding it, the Mizbeach is 10 amot high. For God's sake, the Kohen is going to be standing on top of the Mizbeach, holding the Avodah. It's going to be almost laughable. Everybody is watching him, standing up above. I mean, it's hilarious. He's standing up above the Kalei HaChatzer, which is supposed to be keeping the whole thing tzanua. And here it's as if we've made a stage in which all we can see is the Kohen holding the pieces of the carpet. Does this make sense to you? It's absurd. You think that 5 amot means 5 amot in total? I mean, come on. It says in the pasuk, "Aluk v'nemar v'et kalei chatzer v'et masach shar chatzer asher al hamishkan v'al hamizbeach." Now, I don't care what you want to say, but it says over the mishkan and the mizbeach require the same kind of covering to the chatzer. Well, if the mishkan is 10 amot, then it means the mizbeach requires the same thing, 10 amot. So then you're going to say, "Oh, so I mean, doesn't it say 5? Well, on the other hand, doesn't it say 15? Of course, this is a little bit strange because that's referring, as Tosis points out, to the width, not the height, but this is Rashi's approach. That it's, Chamesh Re'amah Lakatev means 15 amot high at the edge of the door. In which case, why do you think it says 5 amot? Not because it means in total 5 amot. Ma Talmud Lomar Chamesh amot. That's referring to 5 above the 10 starting point. The 10 starting point is the top of the Mishkan. That you agree, the top of the Mizbeach. That's what I maintain. And you still need another 5 above that to give it a sense of privacy. So that's Mizvat, Mizbeach v'lamala.
And why does it say Shalosh Amot Kamato by the Mizbeach HaNechoshet? That's only from the edge of the Reshet, which was the Sove Ulamala. You see. So therefore, everything works out perfectly. For Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Gzeirah Shavah is not about the height. The Gzeirah Shavah is about the width. Yes, the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it also, I thought Rabbi Yehuda doesn't like the idea that the Kohen should be visible, right? So, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he's learning everything is Kipshuto, how high would the Kohen? Chamesh Amot. How high is the Mizbeah? Shalosh Amot. How tall is the Kohen? Also Shalosh Amot. So, that means he was visible, his head is visible. He himself has got the problem. The head of the Kohen is visible above the Kohen. So how does he stay out of trouble? Well, he says, Nehi, the Kohen Mizchas. True, you see the head of the Kohen, but you don't see what he's doing. So the Avodah should be Yadot, lo Mizchas. That makes sense. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, when it says that the Melech Shlomo was Kidesh etoch haChatzer, that makes sense. He needed to be Mekadesh the floor. But according to Rabbi Yossi, what do you mean Kidesh? What's the Kidesh? No, it means according to Rabbi Yossi, he had to give the Kiddush of the Azorah to the expanded Azorah. Lahamid b'mizbeach. So he made it Kodesh, not to use the floor, for heaven's sakes. He made it Kodesh to put the new Mizbeach on. Okay, and according to Rabbi Yossi, I understand why it says Katan, because the old Mizbeach was Katan, and the new Mizbeach wasn't Katan. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, why does it even mention Katan on the Mizbeach HaNechoshes? It's not the Mizbeach HaNechoshes that was Katan. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it was the Mizbeach, the new Mizbeach that Shlomo had built that was Katan. So why are we talking about that the original Mizbeach HaNechoshes, which Betzalel of Beit Moshe made, was too small? We're not even talking about that, according to the way Rabbi Yehuda is understanding it. We are. The words Mizbeach HaNechoshet is a model for the Mizbeach at all times of the Mizbeach that is made of Avanim. That's always called the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. And what it means is, Ochikama, Mizbeach Avanim she'asah Shlomo tachat Mizbeach HaNechoshet ha'asah Moshe was Katan. That's the point. And what are they arguing in and where to learn the Gzera Shava? Chutz. I mean, does it make more sense to learn out the Mizbeach at the time of Moshe, which was Bachutz, the regular Mizbeach Avanim, from the Mizbeach that was at the time of Yechezkel? Well, we're going to start learning Chutz B'Pnim to learn out the outside Mizbeach from the Mizbeach of the Kitoret of Zahav, which is the way Rabbi Yossi was learning. Doesn't make any sense. Ain't done in Chutz B'Pnim. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, well, now wait a minute. The Mizbeach on Nechoshes was not a building. It was a kli made out of Nechoshes. The Mizbeach that Yechezkel is defining is a building. Doesn't make more sense to learn out one kli from another kli, in other words, a Nechoshet kli from a Zahav kli, rather than to learn out a kli from a building? So danim kli mi kli, ve'in danim kli mi binyan. And now, all is clear as could be. V'rav sharvi amar, ha'mani rabbi yezegli le'yitetani rabbi yezegli le'omer, mito sh'ner ma'v'natata takiyor v'no mo'et. And it also said that Mizbach Ha'ola, Sam Petach Mishkan Ol Moed, Mizbeach B'Petach Ol Moed, V'lo Kior B'Petach Ol Moed. So now you're wondering, Hey, Chanaya Notzno? I'll tell you, in the area which would have been sort of Bein Olam Olam Mizbeach, but of course it would have to be Moshuch Timah Klapi Adoron. Now I ask you, says Reb Sharbiyam, what do you think he holds? Ika Sava Kulim Mizbeach B'Dorom Koy, what's the problem? Nukme mikotol eichal v'dorom, and that still would be called da'ainu bein olam v'mizbeach. You want to say he holds even kedushat eichal v'ulam chadehi? We got to get it away from the doorway of the ulam. Fine, move it another 5 amot. So good. Nukme mikotol ulam v'dorom da'ainu bein olam v'mizbeach. And you know what? Even if he holds that chetzio b'tzafo v'chetzio b'dorom, he still has got plenty of space. You know what? Even if you want to add the Kedushat Ulam and Eichal Chodah, you could still be Nukme Mikotel Ulam V'Ladorom. Dainu Bein Ulam V'Lam Mizbeach. It's all Bein Ulam V'Lam Mizbeach from beginning to end. El Alav Mishum Dekasovar Kulo Mizbeach Betzofen Koi. Therefore, Kinami Mukmet La Mikotel Eichal V'Latzofen. And there's nowhere now to put it. But why not just put it there? Omar Krot Safona. She had Safon Panu Bikin. Mantana de Polagovia, the Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Safona means she had Safon Panu Miklum, not Mikelim. A filamina Mizbeach. Omarab. Mizbeach shenivgam, kol hakadoshim shekedusha psulim. Darn it, mikro yabadenu v'shachagnu. Ki solek Rav Kahana Ashkelon b'shem bar Rabbi, tekam Rav Shimon b'shmo Rabbi Yosi, minay, mizbeach shenivgam, kol hakadoshim shekedusha psulim, shenema v'zavachta alav et olotecha v'et shlomecha, v'chi alav ata zoveach, ela kishehu shalem, v'lo kishehu chaser. Oma, wow, haynu kradish tamid lei l'rav. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, why does it have to be Shenishchatu? Even if it wasn't Nishchatu, Echadzev Psulim. But by Plige, Rav Sofar Ba'alei Chayim Einan Nidachin, Reb Yochanan Sofer Baalei Chayim Nidachin Meitein. Kol HaKadoshim Shayu Ad Shelo Nivne HaMizbeach V'Chakach Nivne HaMizbeach Pesut Nivne. That's Tchuyim Mikor. Sorry. Ad Shelo Neras HaMizbeach. Neras? My God! How old are they? Sorry. Ad Shelo Nivgam HaMizbeach V'Chakach Nivgam HaMizbeach Psulim. Oh, yeah. So you're the only one who could be Terutzik of a Taratzta. I'll be Betaretz. Ema Shenishkatu. V'Omer of Gidl HaMarab Mizbeach Shenekar. Anyway, you could be mocked at the Ketoret. Bimekomo, couldn't you do the same thing over here? Yeah, sure you could. But what good would it do you? Gidl HaMarab Rav Moda Hoya Rav Yudah B'damim. Hokanami Moda Rav B'damim. That you cannot be Zerik the Dam. So anyway, it's Nidre. Anyway, what was he referring to about Rav Yudah B'damim? What was that? Titania. Bayom ahu kidesh hamelech toruch hachatzer ki mizbeach. Well, it doesn't quite say Mishasa Moshe. Katan mizbeach anachoshes katan miachil. That means dvorim kichtovam. Give a Rav Yudah on the floor. Amar Rav Yosef alok v'anema. Elef olot ya'aleh shlomo ala mizbeach ahu. V'ilu v'beit olamim hu omer v'yizbach shlomo et zevach ha'shlumim asher zevach la'ashem. Bakar, 22,000. Throw in another 120,000. It's not a problem. Because when you prorate it, v'ata magil ha'cheshbon olot per amot, so cheshbon olot v'diyan amot, there's plenty of room. Ze gadomi, ze, you got 400,000 you could have brought. Elamau katan me'achil. It just means that they didn't want to use it anymore. They were trying to be nice. Ki adam ha'omer l'chaveiro ploni na nasu, where he really means posel aveda. That's a very good point, Rabbi Yudah. How do you explain that? Shapakam Rabbi Yosef. Well, that's Rabbi Yudah Latayme. Rabbi Yudah Latayme starts off with different measurements on the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, and therefore can only multiply not one per thousand, but 36 per thousand, which leaves him short, very short. So Rabbi Yehudah is the time of Mizbeach Shasa Moshe Gadolaya. The Tanya Chamesha Mot Orech Chamesha Mot Rochav. Dvarim Kichtavam Divir Rabbi Yehudah, which leaves us only one square arm in the middle. Rabbi Yehudah Omer, Nemar Kan Ravua. And by Yecheskel it says Ravua. Just like over there, it meant we count from the midpoint. And there Hayamodeh. Davkan Me'em Tzayita Hayamodeh. And how do we know there it meant the midpoint? Tichtiva Ariel, Shtemisre Ama. That's the Chol Ruach. You say means Chol Ruach. How do you mean Chol Ruach for Ruach? Maybe it means Shtemisrei al Shtemisrei. No. It says El Arba'at Riva'at. Melamech me'emtza ha'yamodet. Rabbi Yossi, don't he hold the Kal V'chomer of the Gzeres Shava? Absolutely. Ki gomar Gzeres Shava, it could only be referring, since the only place I would learn it from was the Mizbeach HaKtorot, Mizbeach HaZahav, all that's left to learn is the Gova. The Gova of the Gomer, because even though it says Shalosh Amot Kamato by Mizbeach Shamoshe, Rabbi Yehuda claims, well, it says three, that's what it means. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it says three and it means 10. Just like you said, when it said five, it means actually means 10. I says it's three, means 10, based on the same word. Ne'amar kan Ravua, and ne'amar la'alan Ravua. Ma la'alan by the Mizbeach HaZahav, Govo pishnaim ki orko, afkan govo pishnaim ki orko. So therefore, it's got to be 10 amot high. Omar le Rav Yehuda, efshe koin omeir agami mizbeach lavodavi yodo, v'chol ha'am ro'im oto mibachutz? Omar lo Rav Yossi, well, what do you think? You take literally 5 amot was the height of the kal'ei chatzer, you nuts? I mean, it says that kalei chatzer vet masach shara chatzer shar ala mishkan vi ala mizbeach. So then that means the mishkan is 10 amot, the mizbeach is 10 amot, and the kla'im are 5 amot above that. That's the point. And therefore, when it says over here, the kla'im 15 ama ala katef, that's what it means all in the height 15. So then why does it say Chamesh Amot? It keeps talking about Sheish Mazar, Koma Chamesh Amot. How do you get 15? That means from the top of the Mizbeach up, it was another 5 Amot. And why does it say about the Mizbeach of Moshe, according to you, it was Shalosh Amot high when it's really 10 Amot high? That's Misvat Sove Vilamala from the Reshet. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, Kigomer Gzera Shava Berechava with the Gomer. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, is it any better? If he holds it was only 5 amot high, the Kal Eachatzer, and then Mizbeach is 3 amot high, then everybody could see the coin. True. But Nehi the coin mitchazeh, Avodah should be at all the mitchazeh. You really needed to make it all din of a mizbeah. But according to Rabbi Yossi, what's the business about kidesh? Well, you still need kedusha la amidba mizbeah. Bishlam on the Rabbi Yossi, aina dechtiv katan. Yes, the idea over here was that it literally was katan, was replaced by the new mizbeah. But according to Rabbi Yossi, why are we even talking about the mizbeach on a korshet? What's the katan about the mizbeach on a korshet? No, Mizbeach HaNechoshet is a model. Mizbeach HaVanim She'asar Shlomo, which took the place of Mizbeach HaNechoshet, was katan for the 140,000 korbanos, and therefore it was mekadesh b'tocha chatzer. But my plige, mar sofer donei chutz b'chutz, ein donei chutz b'fnim, umar sofer. Look, it makes more sense. V'donei kli mikli, says Rabbi Yossi, v'ein donein kli mibinyan.
The following is a lot from the previous Daf Yomi cycle.
Okay, let's review a little bit because we had a long, hard 48 hours, is it? 36 hours. Since our last meeting, yeah? 36 hours. Okay. Now, let us recall that we had this brilliant proof that the Mishnah was going on, even Rav Yossi, that it was Rav Yossi, Shita, the Mizbeach, is Bitzafen. The way that we prove that Mizbeach is Bitzafen is that if you hold that Rav Yossi is the author of the idea that you have to have anything going into the Heichal from the Mizbeach, or anything that's coming out of the Heichal onto the Mizbeach, has to be the closest possible point. And the Raisa identifies with a simon what's the closest possible point, 4 amos away from the edge of the southern, southwestern side. And the only way to understand how the southwestern side could possibly be the closest to the entranceway of the Heichal was by saying that the Mizbeach was kulay the suffering, and that the 4 amos that it's referring to means from the bottom edge of this yisod. So you have an am of yisod, an am of sod, you have an am of keren, an am of yivuch hakeren. It gives us 4 amos, and you still have 1 ama to play with in there, in which it's connected ha-pesach, because you have 5 amos of the pesach starting from the middle, which was a bit suffering. And so, if you're going to put something on the Mizbeach, that's where you're going to have to put it. Once you go up to 5 amos away from the Keren, poof, you no longer can make it a Keren. Now, the problem was that the Gemara said, well, not necessarily. It could be that Rabbi Yehuda really agrees with this, with the essential premise of Rabbi Yossi, which is reasonable, that anything that you're going to bring out of the Heichal, or anything you're going to bring out of from the Mizbeach to the Heichal, has to be the closest possible point. We know that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Mizbeach is smack bang in the middle of the Azorah, and that would mean, if you think about it, that if you go all the way to the edge and you start from the Keren, not from the, because it says Keren usually means Keren, not from the bottom, then if you hold the Kedushas Ulan Be'echel Eschatu, then you have 10 amos that you have to take off of the Mizbeach, correct? Because it's a 20 on the Petah. You got 10 amos that would be going towards the south. And that still leaves us 6 till the end. But who cares about the 6? We're starting at the Keren. The Keren is 4. Because over there, you're not excluding the Amis and Amis Ovid. So you know, all you have to worry about now to get all the way up to the door, which was 6 from the bottom of the Yisod, is then to move 4 from the Keren. You move 4 from the Keren, you're now at the door of the Ulam. Since he holds that the Ulam and the Echo Kedusha Ulam and Echo Chadahu, the Mishnah could just as easily have been Rav Yehuda, and we prefer it to be Rav Yehuda,
Because we know for a fact what is Shita Zorabi issue. Why should we create a Shita Rabbi Yosef is there for suffering? That was the alternative that we had 36 hours ago. Now comes along Rabbi Sharbi, and he has a different suggestion. And he says, you know what, it's not Rabbi Yosef, meaning Rabbi Yosef ben Kalafta, it's Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Rabbi Yosef Aglili says in the Brisa, the time Rabbi Yosef Aglili on there, this is what they put it between the Ohel Moed and Bein HaMizbeach. Now, problem is, it also says, V'Zvach HaOlah Sam Pesach Ohel Moed. If you put the Mizbeach at the Pesach of the Ohel Moed, which is much better to put the Mizbeach at the Pesach Ohel Moed, not the Kiyor in the Pesach Ohel Moed, okay? So where did he put the Kiyor? Rabbi Yosef Aglili's got a problem with this. Where did he put the key on? So, I say, says Rabbi Sharbi, everything works out fine. The way you said it before, is the four amas starts from the bottom, on the ground. Yes, there is a sheet that holds the column, is bad with suffering, but it's not Rabbi Yosef ben Kalafta. It's Rabbi Yosef Aglili, because here, take a look what Rabbi Yosef Aglili is forced to say. He says, if one pasuk says you put the pain on his bad, the pain on his bad, is bad. The other one says that no, actually, by the Pesach Ohel Moed, there's only Mizbeach, there's no Kiyor. So you got a problem. And where are you going to put the Kiyor? Hechanoyah, notel, bein ulam la Mizbeach, pashuv kima kopei adarom. You put it in the area, which would be the extension of bein ulam la Mizbeach, but there ain't no Mizbeach there. Actually, it is a little bit pulled to the south of the edge of the Mizbeach. Now, obviously, this means that he holds that the Mizbeach was Kula B'Tzofen. Because if he didn't hold the Mizbeach was Kula B'Tzofen, there's absolutely no way of justifying his claim that even though the Torah says Bein Olam L'Mizbeach, it doesn't mean Bein Olam L'Mizbeach. It means if you draw a straight line, you call that entire part of the Azorah Bein Olam L'Mizbeach, even though it's not literally between it, but it's in the same space, Bein Olam L'Mizbeach. There's no way you could justify that unless he holds that the Mizbeach was B'tzofen. And why? Because let's go through it. Let's say that he holds Mikasava. He could suffer to the Mizbeach B'dorim Koi. If he holds that the Mizbeach was B'dorim, so then this is insane. I mean, because what's his problem? Fine, you don't want to put it by the Pesach. I mean, for God's sake, how much is the Pesach? 5 amas. And if you hold the Kedusha of Yulam is also part of Kedusha, 10 amas. Whereas the Mizbeach is 32 amas, you have a problem where to put the kiyor. Take off 10 amas. 22 amas is not enough space to put a kiyor. So nukli mikay kamei kavu l'dorim. Ben olam l'mizbeach. I mean, so what the problem is? You don't have room. And even if he owes the economic asavak zushu zekav ulam chadi, you want to take off 10 amas. You still have plenty of room. Nukli mikay kavu l'dorim l'dorim ben olam l'mizbeach. And let's say he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Mizbeach is smack bang in the middle of the Azorah. It's Chetshev, it's Sofa, and Chetshev, it's Sofa. No. You're telling me there's not enough room? The Mizbeach is 32 Amos. 16 Amos in either direction. The door is 5 Amos. Can be 11 Amos to put, literally, Bein Olam Mizbeach without being Mafriya, the Pesach of Mishkan, right? So what's your problem? Let's say he holds that there's 10 amas you have to take off because of the Pesach. No. So there'll be 10 amas you have to take off from the 16th. You still have plenty of space. So you still have plenty of space because of the Pesach. There's only one explanation. Obviously, Rabbi Yosef really holds the Kulam is Be'ach B'Tzofen. So if Kulam is Be'ach B'Tzofen, the only place you can put it is not between the Ulam and the Zbeah. Of course, why can't you just put it B'Tzofen? That's a different question. Let's assume for a moment that you can't put it B'Tzofen. So if you can't put it B'Tzofen, then the only thing to do is you've got to put it in the area that's called the Ulam and the Zbeah, a little bit pulled away from the door, because you don't want it in between the door, so it's not right next to the Zbeah. This is not good, because it's not the sheet. Okay. So therefore, that explains it. Says the Gemara, well, I don't understand. How does that help? I mean, even, says the Gemara, even if you would hold that Ikinami Muk Mislamic Kaisel Hechavel Suffering, I'd like to know his veil. So Nukmina Kaisel with Suffering. And it'll still be been on his veil. You've proved it. You've taken for granted for some reason you can't put it for Suffering. So therefore, you're able to prove it's got to be Kol Mizbeach B'Tzofen. Sefkol Mizbeach B'Tzofen, so put the QR. Yeah, and now you have all of the space between, as long as you take off that first five amas of Yod Kuzula, Mizbeach B'Tzofen, you take off 10 amas, still leaves you 22 amas. Why can't you put the QR between the Ulam and the Mizbeach to the north? What's the problem here? How did you help anything by saying Kol Mizbeach B'Tzofen? No. That for sure you can't do. Because the point is, Omar Krot Safena, when the Torah stresses the Lashon of Safena, it's the pshat that the Tzofen itself is Ponui Mikalim. Because why is it Safena? Safena is the pshat, go ask the young man, so to speak. It was go to the place where there's nothing there. Don't just go to Yerachem Mizbeach with Safon. But you have to know, Safona, there you go, bye-bye. So there's nothing is there. So that means it's Ponui Mikalim. So the Kiyar being a Kli can't be put, Safon. And therefore, I mean, you say today, go west, young man. It looks like you're crazy. What's the difference west, east? It's all the same main town, USA. So what are you telling me, Safona? It's just as crowded there as it is over here. There's Kiyar is all over the place. I don't know, well, what's the big deal to go north? So therefore, it's got to be that Rabbi Yezik Lili owes the Kulim is there for suffering, and therefore, the only place to put the kiyar is Mashur Lidar, right? Away from the door. So it doesn't block the door between the Olam and Mizbeach. In the area that's called Bein Olam and Mizbeach, and everything fits in. So Lamai said, yes, there is Staka such a Shita, but there's no reason to assume it's Rabbi Yossi. Maybe it's Rabbi Yezik Lili. Okay, so we have three possible approaches here to understanding that Mishnah and Brayta, Mishnah and Midas, and then the Brayta that discusses the sin of the four Amos.
So here could be between the Mizbeach and the Ulam?
Well, that's where it's supposed to be, but we just have to keep, yeah, we'd like it to literally be there. If we could. But not by the Pesach. So somehow we've got to find room, not for suffering, but that's not Bein Olam and Mizbeach at the Pesach. If you hold Kol Mizbeach B'Tzofen, that's obviously impossible. So then you have no choice but to say it means figuratively Bein Olam Mizbeach, meaning in that same area, right? Now, who is the Atana that is following the later of Yosef Lulik? Who disagrees with this whole idea and holds that the Mizbeach was B'Dorim that you kept talking about? The Mikrosover, Ikosover, Kol Mizbeach B'Dorim. Who holds Kol Mizbeach B'Dorim? Now, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov on there. When it says Safona, it means that the Safon is totally Ponui Mikalim. And I got news for you, the Mizbeach also is like a Kli. Because its roots are in the Mizbeach and the Chayshas. So you don't put the Mizbeach there either. Afilim in a Mizbeach. So according to him, there's no way to put the Mizbeach with Safon. You're forced to bring the Mizbeach all the way to the south, which gives you very little room to get onto the Kedesh, you'll notice. We bring the Mizbeach all the way to the north. But we'll get to that problem later. Omar Rav, Mizbeach shenifgam, kol hakadashim shenishchatu sham, psulim. Now Rav says, you know, a Mizbeach that got a crack in one of the stones, anything that was shechted there is possible, kaput. Even if you fixed it, it would be possible, because it would be nitka. Once it's nitka, you can't make it kosher again. Darn it. Mikra v'yadeno v'shachachnu. I remember there was a pasuk for this that I learned. I can't remember what the pasuk is, but I guarantee you that's halacha. We'll figure out the pasuk one day. So actually, Tosafot Kahana, when Kahana went up to learn Teretz Yisrael, he finds Rabbi Shimon bar Revi, who's quoting Rabbi Shmuel of Rabbi Yossi, and guess what he's talking about? This sugya. And he says, "Minai in the Mizbeach shenifgam kol hakadashim shenishchatu psulim shenemar v'zavakta alav." Now you'll see why this is part of our sugya. V'chi Allah v'atazoveach, which of course was the drasha that we just had at the top of the Mizbeach, it's kosher for Shechita. But I mean, what is it telling you to shech the on top of the Mizbeach? It's ridiculous. How can you, obviously not supposed to necessarily shech the top of the Mizbeach. I mean, we know it says Ayerach HaMizbeach, it's a fan, it doesn't have to be. Allah, what does it mean? Allah. It means Allah, meaning Kishu Kasher. Meaning that the Shechita is based upon the kashrus of the Mizbeach. That's not Allah. Based upon the kashrus of the Mizbeach. So Kishu Shavayim, lo Kishu Chaser. Oh, he says, Ha! That must have been the pasuk that Rav was referring to. He forgot. Fantastic. Wait till I get back to Torah. Rav Yochanan Amar. Rav Yochanan said, oh, wait a second, Rav. You'll notice that Rav was very careful to say that only karbonis that were shechted become pasuk. Right? He says, kol hazvachim shenishchetu sham. He's topping out. Anything that was a zebak at that time is possible, even if it was a nishak. So I hold echad zeb, echad zeb, whether it was nishkat at the time that the mizbeach became nivgam, or whether you shechted it afterwards, it's still going to be nitfet. Because he holds, obviously, the ma'akam ifunye, the machlokas over here is Rav Sever Baalei Chagimin HaNidachim. Rav holds that something that's alive can't become nitfet. The Mela, if the Mizbeach had been nifgam while it was living in the shechted, yet when the Mizbeach is fixed, you go ahead and check it. But Rabbi Yochanan holds Baalei Chagimin HaNidachim. Excuse me. So according to him, what's the difference if it was shechted and not shechted? You had a Mizbeach, you had a carbon, the Mizbeach becomes fossil, the carbon becomes fossil. The Mizbeach becomes fixed, the carbon doesn't become fixed, because it's nitfet, you can't fix a carbon. So the man, it's fossil laws, medicine. Kol HaKadashim Shayu, Hachu Lo Nivneha Mizbeach, Achakach Nivneha Mizbeach Tzuli. Anything that you had, a carbon that you had made before the Mizbeach was built, and then you built the Mizbeach, it's possible. What are you talking? Nivne, what? Built the Mizbeach. That's for sure not a problem. That's the Fliya Meikar, you know. The rule is, the concept of Bihuri is where something was once Roini, and then it becomes Nivsa, because there's something missing. But lechatchila, when something is missing, it's not yet its time. When you say you're going to be marked with something belayla, so it's nitzek, because you can't bring it now. Because it's night time, so now it's fossil forever. It never reached the time at which it will become kosher. If you make it a carbon before the mizbeach, you can't bring it yet, so fine. When you get the mizbeach, you bring it. That's not called nitzek. That's called dikli meikar. Dikli meikar is not called dikli. So that can't be the problem. Yeah, sorry. The correct word wasn't nivne hamizbeach. The correct word was neras hamizbeach. So anything that was before the korban and the mizbeach was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, so then when the mizbeach was rebuilt 70 years later, the korban is possible. Possible. He's, you know, it's a little bit too old. Don't you think to bring on? What are you bringing now? A 70-year-old cat on the mizbeach? Oh, you're right, sorry. Oh, let's change that again. So, it's actual nivgam hamizbeach. There we got it. So, if anything that was there, says over here, anything that was there, says kol hakadashim, anything, even if it was alive, that was there before the mizbeach got a pegam, and once the mizbeach was nivgam, it's possible. Aha! So what do you see from here? The Rav Yochanan is right. And what are you going to do about this, Rav? Rav says, guys, if you fooled around with the brisa, to change the gears, to fit whatever it is you'd like to fit it, how about if I fool around a little bit more? And instead of saying kachim, not hoyu sham, why don't we say shenishkatu sham, okay? I mean, come on, we're in this boat together. We're not going to take the brisa literally, so what's the problem? So, voloti rutzik abatarat, so you've already played your little games to make the brisa work out, so I'll play my game too, ema shenishkatu. So instead of the word hoyu sham, so shenishkatu sham. That way you don't get into the problem of Baalei Chagimin HaNidachim. It's only if it was shechted, so now it's not Baalei Chagimin. So Omer, Pidol HaMarav, Mizbeach Shene'ekar, Maksirim Ekitoret B'mekomo. Wait, doesn't it say, and this is Rav who's been quoted as saying that, that if the Mizbeach HaZahav was taken out, you could put the Keteres on the place where the Mizbeach was. Now, why then? I mean, undoubtedly that would be the case of the Mizbeach from the outside also. So what's wrong? What's the problem? So you take away the Mizbeach. So fine, the Mizbeach is possible. So what's the big deal? So take away the Mizbeach. You could still be marked something there, even if it's not on the Mizbeach. So how does it become Dachui? I think it's Dichui because it's on the Mizbeach. You don't need a Mizbeach. The same way you can bring the Kseres and the Mokom of the Mizbeach as a Hav, you should be able to bring Karbonos and the Mokom of the Mizbeach of Abonim. No, God. You're my brother, Maida, you're a bit of a dummy. Rava makes a famous statement, a similar issue, which we'll get to in a minute, what he was referring to. And Rabbi Yehuda is mighty that when it comes to the dam of the Mizbeach, it's possible. You have to have the Mizbeach there. You can't use the mokling of the Mizbeach. You have to use a Mizbeach with pressure. So over here it's the same thing. Might have Rav the dummy. Even though Rav is saying the Keteris, it could be mocked here. Maybe the Avarim could be mocked here. But that's not the issue over here. The question is, what are you going to do about Zrika? Zrika needs a Mizbeach. Again, there's nothing to do. Must say become Nitra, you can't be mocked here. What were you referring to, by the way, when you said Meida with Rabbi Yehuda, the dummy? What is that? What was Rabbi Yehuda? What was the dummy? To Tanya, the question is like this. Very fascinating thing. Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. And so there is something strange. It says, Bayom Hahu, Kidesh HaMelech, and listen, what was he, Mekadesh? Kidesh HaMelech Estoch HaChatzer. He made the inside of the Chatzar Kodesh. Why? Ki Mizbach HaNecheshes Asher Lifnei Hashem Katan Mehetir. Because the old Mizbeach, the Mizbach HaNecheshes, was too small. What does that have to do with making the Chatzar Kodesh? I mean, the Chatzar's Kodesh, but the Dinim of the Chatzar. I mean, what's that have to do with the Mizbeach? So, comes along Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, Dvarim Kechtavam, Rabbi Yehuda. The problem was that on that day Shlomo was bringing tens of thousands of korbanos when he was dedicating him based on English. Where is he going to bring up all of these korbanos? So what he did was he gave the floor the kedushah mizbeach. No mizbeach, they put it on the floor and they burned it on the floor. So now you see, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need a big mizbeach to do the aktar. And that's where Rav was to be. He still needed Mizbeach to put the dam on. Fine, okay, but it's a different issue. So this is that Rabbi Yehuda. Now it's not so question. Amalei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, what are you talking about? So then why are you saying that it was too small? I mean, Rabbi Yossi, Shlomo wasn't using the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. The Mizbeach HaNechoshes had already been superseded by the Mizbeach in Shiloh. I mean, they already started using Avonim. I mean, so what are we talking about? This Bachan HaKorshis. What's it? No, yeah. Let's try to figure it out, okay? We know that Shlomo HaMelech used, indeed, the Mizbachan HaKorshis with three separate Mizbachot that he brought there. He had the Mizbachan HaKorshis, he had the Mizbach of Novin Givon, and the Shiloh. Which means, and the new Mizbeach that he himself made, which was larger, which we'll talk about. And they were all in use. So if he was using the Mizbeach HaNechoshes up until that time, and Tosafot says that this was a kapola that he had, because the Pasuk says that this is the way to understand it, that it says Beferish, Al Mizbeach HaNechoshes Asher Betzalel. So Mishama, all of the Elaparlis were on the Mizbeach Asher Betzalel. Okay? Now, the Mizbeach Asher Betzalel essentially was one amma by one amma, because even though it's 5 by 5, but remember that you've got the same problem. You've got the Yesod, you've got the Sobeib, there it was the Reshet and so on, but you've got the same area you've got to take off, and you're left with just that little piece in the middle, which is one amma by one amma. Now, if one amma by one amma could handle 1,000 olos a day, then that means the Beit HaOlamim, who Omer, in the Beit HaMikdash, in the first Beit HaMikdash, where over there the Mokom HaMa'arocha was 20 by 20. And over there it says, Bayisbach Shlomo Atzevach HaShlemim Asher Zavach LaHashem Bakor Esrim V'Shnayim Elef. There's 22,000.
But in one day?
In one day. So fine, and even add all the kvasim. Make it 100,000. I don't care. If 20 by 20 is 400 square amas, my friend, if one square amma can handle 1,000 oilis, 400 square amas can handle 400,000 oilis. He didn't get anywhere near that number of oilis during that period. No. So.
That doesn't completely be true, because I have access to the one amma from four sides. Logistically, I can't handle
it. No, it's really true. It's really true. You throw it on. What's the problem?
Just throw it.
Well, that's the din you're supposed to throw. We learn that out from the Zrika. Excuse me, but if you prorate it, you've got more room now than you ever had before. So why would Shlomo be Makadish Tovachatzim? Ella! You misunderstand the pasuk completely. The pasuk isn't meant to be taken literally that there's a problem, that it's katam mihasro. The pasuk is basically trying to speak in a nice way. And what it's saying is, ki adam omer l'chavero, ploni nanasu. Now sometimes you say, we've outgrown that. Okay? I don't want to say we've decided not to use it. But it's no longer fits the bill. You don't want to say that it's possible outright, and that it was now thrown out, so to speak, from the Avodah. Says, well, it's not quite up to par. It doesn't quite do the job. We need a new model, you know, whatever. That's all that it's saying. So it's like a person wants to say that somebody's possible Avodah. This thing's possible Avodah. He's not quite big enough for the job. So you're saying it's the same thing when you're hiring somebody. You know, you don't want to give them the job. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not big enough for the job. So the same thing over here. What he's really saying is that it's possible. That's what he's saying. That's the shot that's caught on the SEO. You're saying it in a nice way. You're putting a nice tint to it. That's all. Hey, Rabbi Yehuda is, you know, Rabbi Yossi's right. Shabbat on Rabbi Yossi. I say, how do you explain that? You're saying it means literally katan miyach. On the nail, Shlomo had to bring korbanos on the floor when he had plenty of room on the mizbeach. Well, this is Rabbi Yehuda. Of course, Rabbi Yossi's got his shita about the betzal on the mizbeach, but it's wrong. And I'll show you. This is Rabbi Yehuda the timer. He said the mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu made was big. The Tanya Chamesh Amot Orech, the Chamesh Amot Rochav. Here it's Rabbi Yossi who says Dvarim Kichtov. I know the irony. So he says it means literally the mizbeach was 5x5. In which case, if you take off the bokum of the sides, you're left with 1x1 for the actual ma'aroch. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't mean it was 5x5. It means 1/4 of it was 5x5, because it says Ravua. Ravua means if you count from the middle in any direction, you make a square, you'll get 5x5. So 4 squares are 5x5, which means it was really 10x10. In which case it was really 10x10, and it's really 6x6. If we take off the 2x2, right? So it's okay, so it's really 6x6.
But why, okay, can we measure like that?
Can we say that? I'll show you, I'll prove it to you. Because Nemar Kan Ravua, Nemar Al Ravua. By the when the Malach is showing Yecheskel around, it says exactly the same thing. It is a Ravua, and just like over there, clearly the Ravua says the Farish was Mi Emtza Ito Haya Modet. As we'll see, Afkan Mi Emtza Ito Haya Modet. It means to count from the midpoint, to count 5x5. How do we know over there that's what it means? Because it says the Farish Va Ariel Shteim Esrei Amaluch, and that must mean the Chol Ruach. How do you know it means the Chol Ruach? It means Shteim. Maybe it means Shtem Esrei al Shtem Esrei. No, it says Shtem Esrei Ama El Arbat Rivahav. On any of its 4 quarters, wherever you would measure, it would be 12 Amas. So you start in the middle, any direction that you measure, it's 12 Amas. So what is that telling you? That there were 4 squares there of 12 Amas. That's what it's saying. So over here, when it says Ravua, it's telling you there were 4 squares of 5 Amas. So wherever you measure, it's 5 Amas. It's a very good way to measure. It's just like taking a circle and saying, so what's right, right. Taking a square, and it's telling you over here, so to speak, the radius of the square.
Mm-hmm. To the corners or to the
side? No, to the side.
Corners are by partners. Right?
Yeah, of course. Malami Shemiyam Tzayamodet, which proves that it was measured from its middle. Rabbi Yossi says, well, there is such a Gzeira Shava, you're just applying it in the wrong place, my dear Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, yes, there's a Gzeira Shava Ravua, but the Gzeira Shava Ravua is not a reference to the measurements of the breadth and width of all Raya. I mean, it's, if it were, why do we have to say Chamesh Amis Erech, the Chamesh Amis Reichab? It should just say Chamesh Amis Ravua, like it says by Yecheskel, because that means in any direction you measure it. It's 5 Amis. If it starts talking about breadth and width, and obviously it's not talking about Ravua, there's no point in saying that. And give me the total measurement if you're ready to talk about breadth and width. So you're making a mistake. There is a Gzeira Shava, you're Makabah from your Rebbe, I'm a Makabah from my Rebbe, Ravua. But it's the wrong Ravua. The Ravua is, in fact, Nemar Kan Ravua, Nemar Lahalan Ravua. The point is that what we're really supposed to be comparing it to is the, that we're really supposed to be talking about the height of the Mizbeach is what we're dealing with, not the width of the Mizbeach. And it's not a reference, of a Gzera Shava at the Apesca. Who ever heard of that? All right. Our president doesn't let a moment go by. So it's not a Gzera Shava from Yecheskel. It's a Gzera Shava from the Torah. I mean, we always think Gzera Shava from the Torah. It's the Ravua. We're comparing it to the Mizbeach HaZahav. And we're comparing the Mizbeach HaZahav, the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, to the Mizbeach HaZahav. That's the point. And here's how you should learn it. Tanya, V'shalosh Amot Komato. Well, thank you very much. Baruch HaTav, we know you're a human Melech, and Mom Shakol, the Eben Baron. Now, when it says Shalosh Amot Komato, so that means Dvorim Kichtavim, Dibir Rav Yehuda. It means that the Mizbeach HaNechoshet is three Amasai. Says Rav Yossi, no. It says Ravua by the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, and it says Ravua by the Mizbeach HaZahav. Now, just like by the Mizbeach HaZahav, Ma Kan, Govho Pishnayim Ke'orko, when we have the Mizbeach HaZahav, we have over there one by one by two in its height. So it's twice as high as it is wide, the Mizbeach HaZahav. And when it says Ravua over here, and we know how wide it was, because it said Beferish, Chomesh Amos, Chomesh Amos Rokbo. So if it's going to be twice as high as it's wide, then that means it's got to be 10 Amos high. Even though it says 3 Amos, don't let that bother your little head. We'll explain that. But it's 10 Amos high. Omar Le Rebbe Yehuda, come on. I mean, Ed Shekoin Omeid Agavi Amizbeach Vavodabi Ado. I mean, it says Beferish in the Pasuk, and it should say Orach HaChotzer, Merkoma Chamesh Amos, that the Chotzer was 5 Amos high. So that means if it was 5 Amos high, and it's there, it's 10 Amos high, then that's a little bit silly. I mean, isn't it a little bit silly to have a wall 5 Amos high when the Kohen gets up on the Mizbeach and everybody's looking at him, he's holding the Avod in his hand, and we're making these supposed Mathipas.
Why bother?
Why bother? Exactly. I mean, everybody could see him anyway. You're trying to tell me, Epsha Kohen, Omer Agam Mizbeach, Avod, if you have a Chol Aroima, Am Roima Tomi Bachutz. I mean, the most fundamental aspect of a Mathipas, we've got to provide a little bit of Tzvias. Amar lo Rav Yossi, you're so smart. Halo kvar nemar. You know, you seem to have a problem reading Pesukim. Halo kvar nemar, it says, es kalei hakatzer, bes mosak shar hakatzer asher lamishkan, vi al hamizbeach. You notice that it compares the Mishkan and the Mizbeach when it comes to the Kaloyim around the Chatzer. Now, that tells me if the Mishkan is Esar Amos, you're not going to tell me the Mishkan is an Esar Amos, right? That's a fair question. So the Mishkan was Esar Amos, and obviously the Mizbeach was Esar Amos. Let's first get our facts straight, and then we'll worry about your Tznius problem. So the facts are that the Kaloyim are meant to surround a Mizbeach that's as tall as the Mishkan. Now that's the bottom line. Now you want to understand it, I will explain it to you. When it says Kaloyim Chamesh Esrei Ama El Hakatef, you know what that means? When it says it's 15 Amas, it doesn't mean 15 Amas long, it's 15 Amas high. That's what it means. Then the Kaloyim next to the gateway were 15 Amas high. Now you want to know why it says 5 Amas? I'll tell you why it says 5 Amas. Because 5 Amos is what's left of 15 Amos after you take off the 10 Amos of the height of the Mizbeach, and therefore wants to tell you, and don't worry about people like Rabbi, worry about Tznius, if there's 5 extra Amos that's going to cover up the coin. So what's the problem? Everything fits in beautifully. You just need to pay attention to the Pesukim. Now you have that little problem about the Sholosh Amos Kamasov, when I'm claiming that it's 10 Amos Kamasov. You know the answer to that. Take a look at the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. Exactly the same thing. Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash is 3 Amos high. If you count from the Sovei.
Why would I count from the Sovei?
Why not? That's the place where the Mizbeach is active. The rest of it is basically foundation work.
But the Pasuk is not is describing the...
It's the place that's active and burning. The rest of it's where to fill in with dirt and so on this foundation. Once they get to talk about the actual Mizbeach, the Sholosh Amos. Then, of course, you have the other Amos, there's a Karen. But it's Sholosh Amos from Sfas Seviv L'mam. Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda says, look, I was mekabel the Gzeira Shava, that it's the Gzeira Shava to the Rosh Hashanah. So when it says Dvarim Tichsavan, what can I do? When it says Ravua, that Ravua appears in the discussion of the Rosh Hashanah, it's to learn out of the Ravua of Yechezkel. I'm sorry, I can't help it. So it's therefore 10. By the way, assuming that it's that big, that means that it's 36. Moshe Rabbeinu was 36 square amos, six by six. It takes 36 square amos to burn 1,000 oilites. Then the 400 square amos is only about 11 times larger, which gives us 11,000. And he was bringing just of the Zevach HaShlomim, Bokar Esri Mishnayim Elav, besides everything else. So you're already double the capacity on just the Bokar alone. Therefore, it says, Dvarim Kichsovim, you have to be Mekadosh at Tocha Kotz. There's no room on the Mizbeach. So again, I mean, I'm also prorating it, but if I start from my information, in which case it would say it wasn't 5 by 5, it was 10 by 10, and then you'll say that's only twice as big. It's not true. It's six times as big in terms of, because it means that I now have that additional area at 6 by 6. And then if it's squared, it's the square of 6 by 6. So it's 36. No. I mean, I'm prorating it, but it doesn't come out to be big enough. So for me, it's Torka Katsir.
It's a one-time deal.
Okay, so what? But he needed to be Makadik, so Torka Katsir. How's he going to bring the Korbanus that day?
There's a
Moses Kedusha. Maybe it's Makadosh Al-Tanai, whatever. Maybe it doesn't lose his Kedusha. That we'll see as we go on and sit on the floor. But bottom line is, you don't need him as there. That's clear, because otherwise, how could he do that?
Well, these
were Korbanos. They were rabbis. They were regular rabbis, and that's a special dinim. But you make such a. According to Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, you're making this big deal over here. Still, the problem is that Akram Ischazi Kayin. Rabbi Yehuda is making a big deal about the Tznius issue. Right? Because he's saying, according to you, Rabbi Yossi, if the Mizbeach was 3 amas high, if 10 amas high, and the Kayin standing on the Mizbeach, everybody's going to see him. No, and according to you, you hold that the curtains around the chutz are only 5 amas high, and the Mizbeach is 3 amas high. And if the Kayin stands on the Mizbeach, a normal person is 3 amas.
3 amas?
Yeah, 3 amas.
Not 2 amas?
His body is 2 amas, but with his head it's 3 amas. So.
1.8.
So therefore, his head is going to, I mean, people are still going to see him.
But only his head.
Oh, answers the Gemara. Fine, that doesn't bother me. Neither Kohen Mischazi. Fine, the head of the Kohen you'll see, but the Avodah to be Yodolo Mischazi, the Tzni is part. I mean, it's not nice for people to be watching. We're feeding them as bad pieces of meat. It's not the most pleasant sight, and not the most sonorous sight. And so, man, that's not a problem, according to me. Bishleim Reviyud, I need to see Kideish. Stanley says, Kideish is Tocha Chasa, because you have to give it a special Kedusha. But if Reviyosi holds the Varm Kechsoron, what's the Kideish? No, it just means Kideish La'amid Lamizbeach. He needed to give it a din of the Azora. That's all that it means. So he was coming now to give the Kedushas Azora so that this should be the place of the Mizbeach. That's all that it was saying. And then that next piece, Ki Mizbeach and Akoshis, and so on, that's just a nice way of saying we've outgrown it and we have a new way of doing things. We're not going to be using the Mizbeach and Akoshis any longer. That's how I understand it. See you tomorrow morning, Bezrat Hashem. What a wonderful, wonderful Gemara for Tisha B'Av. Yeah, it was Melas, but it was Nivnet. A little bit of time, the animals will be a little too old. No, Melas. If anybody has some carbonas they've been keeping from the time, the last time the Mizbeach got Melas, you should know it's not so fortunate. We may be able to bring them. There's a whole sheet, by the way, among the Rishonim. There's a whole figure we'll get to later on. There were actually the carbonas, the carbonas that the Nesiim had the Boker that the Nesiim had brought were actually brought later on by Shlomo's time. So they were quite old by that time, if you make the cheshbon. It was 480 years from the time of Knesset Haaretz had been given already, from the time that the Kedushas HaMizbeach was 39 years earlier. They were a 500-year-old korban, Zohar HaZokeh. So Tosfos says it was a Rashah. But others learn that Zokain, of course, is all relative. But take a look at Sabajash. I mean, he's 16. So you call him a Zokain. So the same thing is true. Those Karbonas, they chronologically, they were 500 years old. They were young 500 years. We'll be making fun of you on that birthday, too. Don't worry.
Not tomorrow.
It's not your 500th birthday yet tomorrow.
No matter what.
Nobody's birthday.
Very strong.
But before Shlomo, you're back to feel better.
Baruch Hashem.